Thank you so much for tuning in to our church podcast. You can go to atarapentecost.com for questions about services and how to donate. We pray that you are blessed by this message today. God bless.
Our hearts to him one more time. Brother Jacob, you would come, please. Amen.
All right, well, you guys may be seated, or you can stand, whatever you're more comfortable with. Something very special about being in the presence of the Lord. I love that song a lot. I don't know if anybody knows who Eddie James is, but if you haven't heard his version of that song, you should listen to it. It's very good. That's one thing. I've had a pretty long week. I don't know. Do we have any construction workers in the house? I know there's one back there, a couple over there. Sometimes my weeks can be pretty difficult, so to be able to come to this place where the pastor so kindly put, it's nice and warm in this house, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and all those different things. It's nice to be able to unwind in front of some people that I've known for a long time, care about, love. Hopefully I'm loved in return, you know. So public speaking, like Courtney said last Wednesday, it's not my forte. I find singing in front of groups of people a lot easier than speaking, so I'm going to pray real fast and ask for the Lord's help in this matter. So thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to speak about you, to be able to meditate upon your word, to be able to study, to come up here, to have the means, the finances, to have the ability, to have the time to be able to do this. I pray that you would anoint me, that you would let me bring forth what I have on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the last time I taught, I think it's been over 2 years since I have been up here. And let me tell you, the last couple years has been a doozy. Yeah, so, and the last time I was up here, I talked about the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. A couple other scriptures, which I actually remember a lot of these things off the top of my head, was Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Jesus talking to the devil after he is tempted after fasting for 40 days, when the devil asks him, turn these stones into bread. And he says, know ye not that man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how Matthew put it. Luke doesn't put it the same way. He just says by the word of God. So Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3 there. So those are some of the key scriptures that I taught on over 2 years ago, you know. Yeah, and it's because I don't want to come up here and look foolish. I don't know if anybody ever really does. So I do a little bit more than I probably should. I got like 7 or 8 pages of paper here. But before we get into that, I would like to introduce myself. I'm looking around. I see a lot of faces of people that I know, a few of them that don't know who I am. So my name, of course, is Jacob Rogenkamp. I'm 32 years old. I was born and raised in Kennewick, probably, 10 or 12 minutes away from here. My mother and father, my mother's name is Patricia Rogenkamp. She served in the military. My biological father's name was Harvey Christ, who recently passed away. I wasn't very close to him, so it's not a big deal. But my stepfather, who adopted me when I was 3 years old, his name is Joseph Rogenkamp. Let's see a little bit about their backgrounds. My stepfather was a cowboy growing up. He used to break horses for a living and ride rodeo. And his parents owned a bar where he bartended as well, so he is kind of a gruff guy, to say the least. My mother, like I said, she served in the military. She was born in Germany, moved over here when she was 11 years old. So she speaks fluent German. And one thing I heard Jacob say back there before, it doesn't matter what you're saying in German, it all sounds pretty angry, you know? So, yeah. My grandparents on my stepfather's side, their names were George and Janice Rogenkamp. They were cattle farmers and cowboys, cowgirls as well. So that's from their end. On my mother's side was Bill and Katharina. We called her Grandma Kitty for short. My grandpa Bill was a Vietnam War veteran, did 3 tours in Vietnam. So, and he was a highly decorated soldier, and I had my mom send me a couple of things, a couple of the medals that he got, because there is just a long list of them. So, what she said is he dropped out in 9th grade to enlist in Vietnam, so he signed up 9th grader. Any 9th graders in the house? What is that, 13, 14? 14? 15? Okay, so 15 years old, he enlisted to go fight in Vietnam. Okay, and he was a 4th generation in the military. His father fought in World War I, and then his brother fought in World War II. So in his over 10 years of service, he got a National Defense Service Medal, which he wrote this scribbles on a piece of paper, which I probably should have rewrote it, but okay. Gallantry Cross, Silver Star Service Medal, 2 Bronze Stars, Air Medal, Republic of Vietnam Medal, Bronze Star Medal, Oak Leaf Cluster, and then a few others. So he was a highly decorated military veteran, which I actually carry around his original dog tag, and I have for about 7 years now. So that is where my bloodline comes from. Yeah. I can tuck that back in there. And then my Grandma Kitty, of course, was from Germany, and she met my grandfather and moved over here. I don't know the time frame, but when my mother was like 9 or 10 years old. Okay, so moving on. Excuse me. Okay, and then part of the history as well is my grandfather Bill, the one I was just talking about, he passed away from a car fire because he passed out drunk in a car that caught on fire somehow. So that's a pretty tragic story. I have the newspaper articles and different things about it. And then my grandma Kitty passed away from cancer at age 10. So, or when I was age 10, excuse me. She was, yeah, sorry. Okay, So I was age 10 when she passed away of leukemia. So she was 66 years old. I remember it was June 6th of 2001, right before September 11th she passed away. So that was a real kick in the teeth because we were close to her. So I had a pretty decent childhood all in all, you know, things were cool. We lived in the same house for, 12 years or so. I went to the same elementary school the whole time, middle school. So I know here a couple months ago when I was up here leading worship, I testified about some trouble that I got in when I was just a young man at age 13. So I figured it was appropriate to just clarify on that a little bit so you guys didn't think I was some sort of a mass murderer or something like that. Okay, so in seventh grade summer, I had started drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, among other things. Pretty much anything I could get my hands on at an early age. So my childhood past seventh grade got a little bit out of control. I met a girl that was a couple years older than me, and me mostly had the bright idea to run away with her. So my plan at age 13 was to get some money, a backpack, and a bicycle, and leave my parents' house. Long story short, I went into somebody's house to try and get some money, and it just did not work out. I ended up going to juvie for a little while because of that. And then after, 2 or 3 months, I got caught stealing beer from a local store, Yokes on 27th Street. So that was it was like a double whammy within a couple months from each other. So when I say that I am thankful to be here, I really mean it, you know, because I had a crazy childhood and I can tell you that God has delivered me from drugs and from alcohol and from every other thing. Yeah. And it is very, very nice to be here. And it wasn't just drugs and alcohol that I've been delivered from. There's depression, anger, hatred, violence, lots of different things that I've been delivered from. I feel like I'm closer with God today than I ever have been in my entire life. Despite anything and everything that's ever happened to me, I can tell you that God's good and he's always been there for me and with me. And I hope that young people, if you want to talk to me, I can get more into my testimony. I don't really feel like it's appropriate to say everything. I know Jeff probably knows a little bit more than most people. And on that note, thank you. Eighth grade, you know, it was difficult for me. So thank you for taking me into your house, giving me rides to and from baseball, treating me like a normal person, you know, because I lost a lot of friends. Everybody in school knew what had happened to me. I no longer was allowed at anybody's house realistically. And this man, that's why I love you so much, was because of that, because you showed me kindness at a time where I needed something so desperately. And I did not necessarily have a mother and a father that serve God. I know they've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'd like to see them in church and actually, like I said, serving God and doing things and taking steps in his direction. But what I can do is pray for now. So thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, and then I'll keep going a little bit there and not just focus on the bad. So after that, I moved out of my parents' house at age 16. Okay, so me and my mother, we got in a fight. And she had told me, just wait till your father gets home. And I did not want to wait till my father got home. So I left with some clothes, and that was the last time I ever lived with them. And I also dropped out of high school at age 16, you know. So I had some bad choices, some rough times ahead of me, which is okay. So the 2 weeks after I turned 18, I got my GED, and I started going to CBC's welding technology program. And that has helped me today because I'm a welder, a fabricator, a journeyman sheet metal worker for the local 55. And I have been doing this for over 10 years now, you know. So if you give me blueprints and a welder and the means and opportunity, I can make just about anything other than rocket ships. I do not make rocket ships, you know. If Kelly was here, he'd probably disagree on the make the anything, but I feel like me and Kelly Smith together with his knowledge and my know-how, you know, we could do just about whatever we wanted to do. Okay, so my first job was working at a steel yard, outside steel yard off Oregon Street in Pasco. Summertime, wintertime, slanging steel to the public. And let me tell you, that was a fun job. Yeah, picked up on the sarcasm. Three years, hard time, Supermax. But looking back on it now, it makes me appreciate the job that I have, everything that it taught me, and it made me maybe a little bit too gruff and mean sometimes, but it made me the man that I am today. After the steel yard, I had jobs at fabrication shops, machine shops, did commercial plumbing for a while, until I found the union. Well, union found me. Hans isn't in here, but he kind of pushed me. My father-in-law, Hans Block, he pushed me into getting to the union, and I spent 5 years in an apprenticeship program, and here I am today. So, okay. And I don't know if anybody knows, my wife back there, Sabrina, she is the Sunday school lady / mother of my beautiful children and beautiful wife. I have three daughters, all blonde and all, what's the nicest way to put it, just as fiery as I am, you know? So my 10-year-old looks like me, she acts like me, she talks like me, which is not a bad thing. As long as she just points that attitude in another direction other than at myself, you know. Okay. And then I don't know if anybody, I'm sure everybody has heard, well, not everybody, but most of you, when my oldest daughter, Kira, was born, she was born very premature at 27 weeks. So that the equivalent of that is 1 pound and 15 ounces. So I remember holding her for the first time, and I have a scar on my forearm, and when I first held her, she went from my middle finger to a scar right there. So she was from head to toe that long. And that was after we didn't get to hold her for 2 weeks. We got to watch her grow in an incubator. And at that time, I was working in that steel yard. And it was just coming up on the hot season, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Me and Sabrina's marriage at that point was on the rocks, you know. So I feel like if we would have lost our child at that point in time, I would not be here today. Because that little girl saved our marriage, not just her, but God obviously had bigger plans in mind for us and our marriage. But we were both going through a really difficult time, really, really difficult. We had doctors telling us a giant laundry list of things that was going to be wrong with our beautiful daughter. You know, they said she would have breathing problems, that she would have heart issues, that she wouldn't grow correctly, just about everything that you should not tell a young couple with their first child. We were having all these professionals tell us these things, you know. So when I say it was one of the most difficult times in my life, I'm not lying to you. But as you can see, we have a beautiful 10-year-old that has no problems at all other than too much energy, which is not really a problem. So if I had to list the number one biggest thing God has ever done for me in my entire life, it is that beautiful young girl back there. And I was hoping I wouldn't get choked up when I said all this, and I didn't, so thank you, Jesus, for that. I haven't given this testimony out loud because of that reason, but I am very thankful for that. And then our middle daughter, Caitlin, as well, the first, I think she was 6 months old when she ended up having to go to the hospital. I remember walking down the hallway and seeing the pastor because he showed up. We called him and told him that she was having problems as well. You know, I thought my daughter was going to die. And I got another call while I was at work, again, saying that you had better stop what you're doing and get down here because her heart stopped once, and we're going to have to life flight your six-month-old up to Spokane and this, that, and the other thing. And I remember having to go up there to the Sacred Heart Hospital and watch my daughter with oxygen going into her nose and heart monitors on and all these different things. And after I thought everything was done and that God had blessed us with the one kid, you know, and it happened again. And the second time was not as bad as the first because I had more faith the second time. But my children have had rough upbringings, and now we have another beautiful daughter back there that has no problems. She hasn't really been sick again. So God is good. He's been really, really good to me. And then we have the youngest, who's just a wrecking ball. So pray for me, please, everybody, pray for me. Okay, so I feel like that is enough about myself. If you guys have any questions, anything I should have touched on, didn't touch on, want to say, add to, take away from, crickets chirping. Okay, so nothing. So I was going to talk about time, and this was a Bible study from 6 months ago, but then the pastor preached on a message about time. And then Colton said something on Wednesday about time. So instead of doing that, I had to switch gears, which is okay. And I went to a subject that I don't know that much about. So I'm going to talk to you guys for a short few minutes about King Solomon. Okay, so I will open it up with, does anybody know what Solomon's other name was when he was born? That is correct. I did not know that. Okay, so Solomon, who was he? So obviously Solomon was a man, and it's pretty bad that I have to be so specific nowadays. In the Bible, it doesn't list that he has any pronouns or any identity problems. He was a man. Nothing else, not them, they, this, that, a toaster, a grapefruit, or any other thing like that. So thank God that the Word of God is clear on those things. That, yeah. I thought that was funny when I put that in here too. You know, I didn't know if it was going to hit or not, and it did. Okay, so just like the introduction I did, Solomon was David's son, and he was the last ruler slash king of a unified Israel. Okay, and his son Rehoboam would eventually split the kingdom of Israel into two. And when I was telling my wife this Bible study, she said, well, did Rehoboam really split the kingdom? And I think that he did. If anybody knows the story, he had a group of older men, counselors that I would assume counseled Solomon, that told him a right way to be able to become king of Israel so he could keep Israel unified. But this young man listened to the council of young people, of people who had no experience in running, I don't even think households, because the Word of God says it was young counselors. So that story is found in 1 Kings 12, 1 through 17, which I'm not going to pull up and read. It's a pretty cool story anyways. Moving on. Okay, so after that point, the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah in the south. Okay, and Rehoboam got the kingdom of Judah. So Solomon reigned from 970 to 31, approximately 40 years. So his mother was Bathsheba, and we all know the story of Bathsheba and David and the sin that they committed. So One thing that I thought was particularly striking is that sin went a little bit deeper than I thought. I was not aware that David knew both Bathsheba's father and grandfather. Does anybody know who Ahithophel is? Okay, so Ahithophel was a counselor to David. And if you look at, let's see, it is in 2 Samuel 15:16 and 17. He was a counselor to both David and Absalom. So, and if you look at 2 Samuel verse 11 and 3, he knew who Eliam was. And Eliam was one of David's mighty men that's listed in a couple different places in the Bible. And Uriah the Hittite was listed as one of his mighty men too. So, not that I want to rag on King David too much, but it was a premeditated sin, and he knew Bathsheba's entire family. So, anyways, moving on. Okay, and on a side note, it must have been a pretty cool deal to be listed in his mighty men. Does anybody know how many soldiers that David had? I meant like the entire kingdom of Israel soldiers. No, I didn't know this one either. I'm not trying to act like Mr. Smarty Pants. These are all new things to me. So he had 30 to 35,000 men. So to be numbered in 1 of 27, you must have been a pretty stand-up guy, I would say. Or did David just feel bad because of what he did to Uriah? Maybe that was the reason why he got on the list. Who knows? Okay, so one thing, if you know about me and these studies that I do, I like to look up what these things mean in the Strong's Concordance. So Solomon, if you look it up, it means peaceful. In Hebrew, it's close to shalom, but it's shaloma. Solomon or Solomon is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible, making him number 9 in the top 10 names mentioned in the Bible. Can anybody guess who number 1 is, the number 1 name mentioned in the Bible? That's very close. I'll give it to you. It's Jesus is number 1. And his father David is number 2 and Moses number 3. So I think after I'm done with this here, I might take the top 10 and just do a biography on all of them. Okay, so Solomon's name means peaceful. So who likes peace in this place? Has anybody come to love the peace of God? Okay, I certainly do. After some of the wars and things I've been through in my life, it's nice to have peace. Okay, and I'm not talking about the peace that this world has to offer. That usually is some sort of a prescription or a pill bottle or an alcohol bottle or a some sort of weed substance, you know. If you look at Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. And for me, I work with a bunch of unpeaceful welder and fabricators, you know, that are 20 and 30 year veterans in this game, and they are just some gruff men, to say the least. So when you have somebody like myself, I can honestly tell you that I am the most peaceful guy on the job site anymore. You know, I don't cuss, I don't yell, I don't scream. It takes quite a bit to get under my skin anymore, mostly because I don't want them to see me doing anything bad anytime, because I have proclaimed to be a Christian. And I know by saying that you are put under a microscope, and that's okay with me. I don't mind at all anymore. It has gotten me a lot of different friends and a lot of different doors open to me, you know, so that's good. Does anybody know the difference between teaching and preaching? It's just the volume, and I was going to try and get loud with this, but I feel like a Wednesday night Bible study, you know, I'm not really here to preach too much, which I would like to eventually, but I am here to try and open your eyes to something maybe that you didn't know. Did anybody learn anything they didn't know yet? Okay, cool. Well, I did my job then. Okay, so Solomon obviously was an heir to David's throne, a prince, if you will, and his name means peace. So I would say a prince of peace. Okay, can anybody tell me where I'm going to go with this? Okay, and then when I look this up, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay. So I thought that was a nice little tidbit. Okay. And then Matthew 12:42, here to tell you that someone greater than Solomon is here. So he's not the Prince of Peace, but just a Prince of Peace. Okay, so like I was saying earlier, Solomon's other name given to him by Nathan the prophet is Jedidiah, which means beloved of Jehovah in Greek, and that's used only one time in the Bible, according to Strong's Concordance. And that's found in 2 Samuel 12:24-25. Okay, he had two really good names. That's why maybe in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 7, Proverbs 22, he talks about that. Okay, and Proverbs. Excuse me. Oh, no. Okay, Proverbs 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver and gold. And if you look at 22:6, probably one that we all know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, the next part of what I'm getting at is Solomon didn't get to where he was at by his own accord. He had a really, really great teacher, probably one of the best in the Word of God. And there's a couple different instances when David was on his deathbed that he gave his son advice, or when he was getting old and stricken in years, he wanted to pour every single blessing he had out on his son. Where if you look at the contrast and how Solomon was when he was passing away, it didn't necessarily look like he wanted to do all that with his son. Okay, and that's just my interpretation. So, Solomon was 55 years old when he died after a 40-year reign, which means he took over when he was around 15, approximately 15-ish. 15 to 20 is one commentary. So 55 years, that's pretty young. And David died at age 70, reigning for 40 years as well. Okay. So one thing that I wanted to go into that was cool that I've heard the pastor talk about before is in 1 Chronicles, after David was getting close to dying. First Chronicles 22:14 says, now behold, in my trouble I prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. Okay, can anybody take a guess on how much 100,000 talents of gold might be? Who said 7 billion? Okay, it's a lot more than 7 billion. That's too much. This is like the Price is Right. Okay, so just the gold alone in today's money would be $220 billion that his father left to him to build something. And that's one of the things I was getting at too, is when Solomon asked for wisdom and not money or things like that, I wonder why he didn't ask for any money. Just putting that out there. Okay, so a quick, oh gosh, I got 10 minutes. Oh my goodness, this time flies. Okay, so a quick overview of Pharaoh, or of of Solomon here is he married Pharaoh's daughter, and it looks like he did it for political gain. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, you can look it up. Okay, and then obviously everybody knows when he asked for wisdom in 3, verses 9 through 12. And then he builds the temple. Not that that's easy to just blow over like I'm going to, but I'm going to. I don't have time to get into it. Gets a visit from the Queen of Sheba, okay? And 700 wives, 300 concubines, you know? I mean, why on earth would anybody think it's a good idea to have so many wives? He had enough females around him to not have to see the same one for like 3 years. Yeah. I can tell you in full honesty that I have a hard enough time keeping one woman happy, let alone 1,000. So I can only imagine why he was having such a hard time in his life at the latter part of his life. And I don't necessarily think it was just because of idol worship, you know. That was obviously his downfall, but good Lord, 700 wives. Okay. So, and what got me turned on to this whole thing in the first place is I was going through and reading Ecclesiastes, and this is where all of this sprang from. Okay. So when he opens up Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So right there, it just kind of opens up to let us know what stage of life that he's in. And it says that he wrote this around 931 BC, so that was, excuse me, I think about 4 years before he passed away. So I can, in full assurity, say the beginning of his life was a lot better than the end of his life, which I had a wrestling coach in high school that he would coach us. His name was Coach Brown, and he would say it's not where you start in this life, it's where you finish. But I think something that, crying baby. It used to bug me, but I appreciate those sounds quite a bit. I can almost tell you whose kids are whose sometimes, you know, without even looking. So, vanity of vanities, I tied that to just James, because there's only one James, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich, like Solomon, in that he is made low, because I think Solomon, just like every other man possibly at some point in his life, comes to the conclusion that we are not here forever, that we have a set amount of time on this planet. As the flower of the grass, he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. And it seems like Solomon, the rich man, was in fact fading away. So, and then Ecclesiastes, I should have routed this a little bit better so I didn't have to go back and forth 95 times, but that's okay. The wireless mic would come in clutch right now, too. Have to ask the pastor to borrow his next time. Okay, that's a hard no. Okay. Okay, so verses 9 and 10. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us? And I can tell you that there is something new. I am a new person. Okay. Okay. Okay, and I have some scriptures to back that up, so it's not just my commentary, you know. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can we be transformed and renew ourselves? This is part of it. Assembling together, talking about God. Deuteronomy 6, 7, I think. You talk about him in the morning and the midday when you go about your way. I don't know the scripture off the top of my head, so excuse me. But the gist of it is you're supposed to be thinking and talking about God all day long. And it's not a bad thing to do. You got to keep your mind sharp and focused on the prize. You got to understand that our enemy is looking to trip us up all day long, whether it be with a waste of your time or whether it be some sort of fleshly temptation or physical or whatever. He is a crafty and a cunning being, that devil, you know. So you have to be wise. You have to pray for these things, and you have to understand what it is he's trying to do. And it's no good, I know that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I thank you that my old life is passed away. Because I can tell you for a 100% fact that God took my old life. He threw it on the ground. He stomped on it into a million pieces so small that I could never pick them up again, and I'm thankful for that. And it wasn't that I chose God, it was that he chose me, and I believe that he has a plan for me in my life and for my children and for my wife. I believe I'm where I need to be with some men mentoring me, so I thank you guys for that. And it's there is peace in the fact of knowing that you are doing what you should be doing in life, you know. I don't really have anything hanging over my head. I don't have any regrets up to this point, you know. God is, and I should be very careful saying this, but it's like the blessing lottery in my house right now, you know, other than my car breaking down. But I don't really care about the car, you know. I am thankful for having a healthy family, a steady job. And I am thankful to be serving God. I really, really am. Okay. And then I have more notes and different things, but we're getting close to wrapped up. So, I used to make it a habit of writing some form of poetry or different things like that, but I have put together a song for you guys. Yeah. And I was hesitant on doing it, and I'm nervous to do it, but let me get my speaker and different things and see what you guys think. Always on the grind, life weighing heavy on my mind. Can't stop me from trying to shine. I keep on getting pulled down. Scream out to the whole crowd, this noise is too loud. Too proud and too mad, and this is all I ever had. Give me this pen and pad. Words are freedom of expression. Why do we curse instead of blessing? I'm stressing, you're testing the wrong man. Come with me and you'll see my plan. It's not too hard to understand. The price has been paid, the foundation been laid. You never stop, you never fade. You're always burning bright now, through this night now, through this fight now. And why is my life this way? Everything is in my way. Guide my path, teaching what to say. A new day, another chance to make things right. All I see is black and white. Please let me see again. Please let me live again. Keep us free from sin. Write my will to the next of kin. Heirs to the throne. image chills me to the bone. And please pick up the phone, he's been calling for a while now. Welcome to my house, it's called the Lost and Found. Round and round it goes, where it stops, no one knows the day or time. Help me get out my mind, I'm feeling trapped and getting lapped. Welcome to the race, you better buckle up. Please God, and fill my cup until it's overflowing. The Holy Ghost is growing up inside, rid me of my foolish pride and this pain I feel inside. Have to run and hide anymore. Knock, knock, he's at the door, and open up and let him in, and he will keep you free from sin. So many people wondering, oh, why am I always stumbling? My life is always crumbling. I'm tumbling, I'm fumbling, I drop the ball. You hear the call, scared to fall. He risked it all for me and you, cause there's nothing he won't do to get a hold of you, cause everything you've been through has helped shape you and make you into what you are. You didn't have to go this far all by yourself. This cross is heavy, please just ask for help and he'll be right there. Wake me from this nightmare and let me go. Now you know how I feel, all of this is real. Jesus, please let's make a deal and let me sign on the dotted line. My life is yours, time to shine and everything will be fine. And thank you for this precious time, don't let me waste it. I can taste it, close to the finish. Now I'll shut this whole thing down, I'll sing to the whole town. Sit down, pull up a chair into my table. It's not a fable, he's more than able to save you from yourself. All these people want is wealth and fame and fortune, and pass the torch in and let me have my turn, and buy an urn for the ashes of your old life and burn it down and let it go. Now you know how you have to be to live this life successfully, to save your family and all of those surrounding me. I feel like I'm drowning in a sea, depression, I'm always stressing, even when he's blessing. Thank you, Jesus, one more time for helping me get out my mind. Song is called Daily on the Grind. Welcome to this place, it's called the Lost and Found. Batter up, I'm on the mound. Let's go.